Chapter 27. On every side, as if to watch the movements of their new visitor, the bells were tolling when Alfonso silently stole along by the wildwood flowers, holding in his hand his favorite instrument of music, his eye continually searching for Ambulinia, who hardly seemed to perceive him, as she played carelessly with the songsters that hopped from branch to branch. Nothing could be more striking than the difference between the two. Nature seemed to have given the more tender soul to Alfonso, and the stronger and more courageous to Ambulinia. A deep feeling spoke from the eyes of Alfonso, such a feeling as can only be expressed by those who are blessed as admirers, and by those who are able to return the same with sincerity of heart. He was a few years older than Ambulinia. As he had turned a little into her 17th. He had almost grown up in the Cherokee country, with the same equal proportions as one of the natives. But little intimacy had existed between them until the year 41, because the youth felt that the character of such a lovely girl was too exalted to inspire any other feeling than that of quiet reverence. But as lovers will not always be insulted, at all times, and under all circumstances, by the frowns and cold looks of crabbed old age, which should continually reflect dignity upon those around, and treat unfortunate as well as the fortunate with a graceful mien, he continued to use diligence and perseverance. All this lighted a spark in his heart that changed his whole character, and like the unyielding deity that follows the storm, to check its rage in the forest, he resolves for the first time to shake off his embarrassment and return, where he had before only worshipped. It could not escape Ambulinia's penetrating eye that he sought an interview with her, which he as anxiously avoided, and assumed a more distant calmness than before, seemingly to destroy all hope. After many efforts and struggles with his own person, with timid steps the major approached the damsel, with the same caution as he would have done in a field of battle. "Adi Ambulinia," said he, trembling, "I have long desired a moment like this. I dare not let it escape. I fear the consequences, yet I hope your indulgence will at least hear my petition. Can you not anticipate what I would say, and what I am about to express? Will not you, like Minerva, who sprung from the brain of Jupiter, release me from thy winding chains, or cure me no more, Alfonso?" answered Ambulinia, with a serious look, raising her hand, as if she intended to swear eternal hatred against the whole world. "Another lady in my place would have perhaps answered your question in bitter coldness. I know not the little arts of my sex. I care but little for the vanity of those who would chide me, and am unwilling as well as shamed to be guilty of anything that would lead you to think all is not gold that glitters. So be not rash in your resolution. It is better to repent now than to do it in a more solemn hour. Yes, I know what you would say. I know you have a costly gift for me, the noblest that man can make, your heart. You should not offer it to one so unworthy. Heaven, you know, has allowed my father's house to be made a house of solitude, a home of silent obedience, which my parents say is more to be admired than big names and high-sounding titles. Notwithstanding all this, let me speak the emotions of an honest heart. Allow me to say in the fullness of my hopes that I anticipate better days. The bird may stretch its wings toward the sun, which it can never reach, and flowers of the field appear to ascend in the same direction, because they cannot do otherwise. But man confides his complaints to the saints, in whom he believes, for in their abodes of light they know no more sorrow. From your confession and indicative looks, I must be that person. If so, deceive not yourself." Alfonso replied, "Pardon me, my dear madam, for my frankness. I have loved you from my earliest days. Everything grand and beautiful hath borne the image of Ambulinia. While precipices on every hand surrounded me, your guardian angel stood and beckoned me away from the deep abyss. In every trial, in every misfortune, I have met with your helping hand. Yet I never dreamed or dared to cherish thy love till a voice impaired with age encouraged the cause, and declared they who acquired thy favor should win a victory. I saw how Leos worshipped thee. I felt my own unworthiness. I began to know jealousy a strong guest, indeed, in my bosom, yet I could see, if I gained your admiration, Leos was to be my rival. I was aware, that he had the influence of your parents, and the wealth of a deceased relative, which is too often mistaken for permanent and regular tranquility. Yet I have determined by your permission, to beg an interest in your prayers, to ask you to animate my dropping spirits by your smiles and your winning looks. For if you but speak, I shall be conqueror, my enemies shall stagger like Olympus shakes. And though earth and sea may tremble, and the charioteer of the sun may forget his dashing steed, yet I am assured that it is only to arm me with divine weapons which will enable me to complete my long-tried intention. Return to yourself, Alfonso, said Ambulinia, pleasantly. A dream of vision has disturbed your intellect. You are above the atmosphere, dwelling in the celestial regions. Nothing is there that urges or hinders, nothing that brings discord into our present litigation. I entreat you to condescend a little, and be a man, and forget it all. When Homer describes the battle of the gods, and noble men fighting with giants and dragons, they represent under this image our struggles with the delusions of our passions. You have exalted me, an unhappy girl, to the skies. You have called me a saint, and portrayed in your imagination an angel in human form. Let her remain such to you, let her continue to be as you have supposed, and be assured that she will consider a share in your esteem as her highest treasure. Think not that I would allure you from the path in which your conscience leads you. For you know I respect the conscience of others, as I would die for my own. Alfonso, if I am worthy of thy love, let such conversation never again pass between us. Go, seek a nobler theme, we will seek it in the stream of time as the sunset in the Tigris. As she spake these words she grasped the hand of Alfonso, saying at the same time, peace and prosperity attend you, my hero. Be up and doing. Closing her remarks with this expression, she walked slowly away, leaving Alfonso astonished and amazed. He ventured not to follow or detain her. Here he stood alone, gazing at the stars. Confounded as he was, here he stood. The rippling stream rolled on at his feet. Twilight had already begun to draw her sable mantle over the earth, and now and then the fiery smoke would ascend from the little town which lay spread out before him. The citizen seemed to be full of life and good humor, but poor Alfonso saw not a brilliant scene. No, his future life stood before him, stripped of the hopes that once adorned all his sanguine desires. Alas, said he, am I now grief's disappointed son at last? Ambulinia's image rose before his fancy. A mixture of ambition and greatness of soul moved upon his young heart, and encouraged him to bear all his crosses with the patience of a job, notwithstanding he had to encounter with so many obstacles. He still endeavored to prosecute his studies, and reasonable progressed in his education. Still, he was not content. There was something yet to be done before his happiness was complete. He would visit his friends and acquaintances. They would invite him to social parties, insisting that he should partake of the amusements that were going on. This he enjoyed tolerably well. The ladies and gentlemen were generally well pleased with the major, as he delighted all with his violin, which seemed to have a thousand chords more symphonious than the muses of Apollo, and more enchanting than the ghost of the hills. He passed some days in the country. During that time Leos had made many calls upon Ambulinia, who was generally received with a great deal of courtesy by the family. They thought him to be a young man worthy of attention, though he had but little in his soul to attract the attention, or even win the affections of her whose graceful manners had almost made him a slave to every bewitching look that fell from her eyes. Leos made several attempts to tell her of his fair prospects, how much he loved her, and how much it would add to his bliss, if he could, but think she would be willing to share these blessings with him, But, choked by his undertaking, he made himself more like an inactive drone than he did like one who bowed at beauty's shrine. Alfonso again went his way to the stately walls and new-built village. He now determined to see the end of the prophecy which had been foretold to him. The clouds burst from his sight. He believes if he can but see his Ambulinia, he can open to her view the bloody altars that have been misrepresented to stigmatize his name. He knows that her breast is transfixed with the sword of reason, and ready at all times to detect the hidden villainy of her enemies. He resolves to see her in her own home, with the consoling theme, "I can but perish if I go." "Let the consequences be what they may," said he, "if I die, it shall be contending and struggling for my own rights." Night had almost overtaken him when he arrived in town. Colonel Elder, a noble-hearted, high-minded, and independent man, met him at his door as usual, and seized him by the hand. "El, Alfonso," said the colonel, "how does the world use you in your efforts?" "I have no objection to the world," said Alfonso, "but the people are rather singular in some of their opinions." "Well," said the colonel, "you must remember that creation is made up of many mysteries. Just take things by the right handle. Be always sure you know which is the smooth side before you attempt your polish. Be reconciled to your fate, be it what it may, and never find fault with your condition, unless your complaining will benefit it. Perseverance is a principle that should be commendable in those who have judgment to govern it. I should never have been so successful in my hunting excursions had I waited till the deer, by some magic dream, had been drawn to the muzzle of the gun, before I made an attempt to fire at the game that dared my boldness in the wild forest. The great mystery in hunting seems to be a good marksman, a resolute mind, a fixed determination, and my word for it, you will never return home without sounding your horn with the breath of a new victory. And so with every other undertaking. Be confident that your ammunition is of the right kind. Always pull your trigger with a steady hand, and so soon as you perceive a calm, touch her off, and the spoils are yours." This filled him with redoubled vigor, and he set out with a stronger anxiety than ever to the home of Ambulinia. A few short steps soon brought him to the door, half out of breath. He rapped gently. Ambulinia, who sat in the parlor alone, suspecting Alfonso was near, ventured to the door, opened it, and beheld the hero, who stood in an humble attitude, bowed gracefully, and as they caught each other's looks the light of peace beamed from the eyes of Ambulinia. Alfonso caught the expression. A halo of smothered shouts ran through every vein, and for the first time he dared to impress a kiss upon her cheek. The scene was overwhelming. Had the temptation been less animating, he would not have ventured to have acted so contrary to the desired wish of his Ambulinia. But who could have withstood the irresistible temptation? What society condemns the practice but a cold, heartless, uncivilized people that know nothing of the warm attachments of refined society? Here the dead was raised to his long-cherished hopes, and the lost was found. Here all doubt and danger were buried in the vortex of oblivion. Sectional differences no longer disunited their opinions. Like the freed bird from the cage, sportive claps its rustling wings, wheels about to heaven in a joyful strain, and raises its notes to the upper sky. Ambulinia insisted upon Alfonso to be seated, and give her a history of his unnecessary absence, assuring him the family had retired. Consequently, they would ever remain ignorant of his visit. Advancing toward him, she gave a bright display of her rosy neck, and from her head the ambrosial locks breathed divine fragrance. Her robe hung waving to his view, while she stood like a goddess confessed before him. "It does seem to me, my dear sir," said Ambulinia, "that you have been gone an age. Oh, the restless hours I have spent, since I last saw you, in yon beautiful grove. There is where I trifled with your feelings for the express purpose of trying your attachment for me. I now find you are devoted, but I trust you live not unguarded by the powers of heaven. So oft did I refuse to join my hand with thine, and as oft did I cruelly mock thy entreaties with borrowed shapes. Yes, I feared to answer thee by terms, in words sincere and undissembled. Oh, could I pursue, and you have leisure to hear the annals of my woes, the evening star would shut heaven's gates upon the impending day before my tale would be finished, and this night would find me soliciting your forgiveness. Dismiss thy fears and thy doubts, replied Alfonso. Look, oh, look, that angelic look of thine, bathe not thy visage in tears, banish those floods that are gathering. Let my confession and my presence bring thee some relief. Then, indeed, I will be cheerful, said Ambulinia, and I think, if we will go to the exhibition this evening, we certainly will see something worthy of our attention. One of the most tragical scenes is to be acted, that has ever been witnessed, and one that every jealous-hearted person should learn a lesson from. It cannot fail to have a good effect, as it will be performed by those who are young and vigorous, and learned as well as enticing. You are aware, Major Alfonso, who are to appear on the stage, and what the characters are to represent. I am acquainted with the circumstances, replied Alfonso, and as I am to be one of the musicians upon that interesting occasion, I should be much gratified if you would favor me with your company during the hours of the exercises. What strange notions are in your mind? Inquired Ambulinia. Now I know you have something in view, and I desire you to tell me why it is that you are so anxious that I should continue with you while the exercises are going on, though if you think I can add to your happiness and predilections, I have no particular objection to acquiesce in your request. Oh, I think I foresee now what you anticipate. And will you have the goodness to tell me what you think it will be? Inquired Alfonso. By all means, answered Ambulinia. A rival, sir, you would fancy in your own mind. But let me say for you, fear not. Fear not. I will be one of the last persons to disgrace my sex by thus encouraging everyone who may feel disposed to visit me, who may honor me with their graceful bows and their choicest compliments. It is true that young men too often mistake civil politeness for the finer emotions of the heart, which is tantamount to courtship. But, ah, how often are they deceived, when they come to test the weight of sunbeams with those on whose strength hangs the future happiness of an untried life. The people were now rushing to the academy with impatient anxiety. The band of music was closely followed by the students, then the parents and guardians. Nothing interrupted the glow of spirits which ran through every bosom, tinged with the songs of a Virgil, and the tide of a Homer. Alfonso and Ambulinia soon repaired to the scene. Unfortunately for them both, the house was so crowded that they took their seats together in the music department, which was not in view of the auditory. This fortuitous circumstance added more the bliss of the major than 1,000 such exhibitions would have done. He forgot that he was man. Music had lost its charms for him. Whenever he attempted to carry his part, the string of the instrument would break, the bow became stubborn, and refused to obey the loud calls of the audience. Here, he said, was the paradise of his home, the long-sought-for opportunity. He felt as though he could send 1,000,000 supplications to the throne of heaven for such an exalted privilege. Poor Leos, who was somewhere in the crowd, looking as attentively as if he was searching for a needle in a haystack, here stood, wondering to himself why Ambulinia was not there. Where can she be? Oh, if she was only here, how I could relish the scene. Alfonso is certainly not in town, but what if he is? I have got the wealth, if I have not the dignity, and I am sure that the squire and his lady have always been particular friends of mine, and I think with this assurance I shall be able to get upon the blind side of the rest of the family, and make the heaven-born Ambulinia the mistress of all I possess. Then, again, he would drop his head, as if attempting to solve the most difficult problem in Euclid. While he was thus conjecturing in his own mind, a very interesting part of the exhibition was going on, which called the attention of all present. The curtains of the stage waved continually by the repelled forces that were given to them, which caused Leos to behold Ambulinia leaning upon the chair of Alfonso. Her lofty beauty, seen by the glimmering of the chandelier, filled his heart with rapture. He knew not how to contain himself. To go where they were would expose him to ridicule. To continue where he was, with such an object before him, without being allowed an explanation in that trying hour, would be to the great injury of his mental as well as of his physical powers. And, in the name of high heaven, what must he do? Finally, he resolved to contain himself as well as he conveniently could, until the scene was over, and then he would plant himself at the door, to arrest Ambulinia from the hands of the insolent Alfonso, and thus make for himself a more prosperous field of immortality than ever was decreed by omnipotence, or ever pencil drew or artist imagined. Accordingly, he made himself sentinel, immediately after the performance of the evening retained his position apparently in defiance of all the world. He waited, he gazed at every lady, his whole frame trembled. Here he stood, until everything like human shape had disappeared from the institution. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.